Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation and chapter number 6. The book of Revelation and chapter number 6. We are finishing up our series of the shepherd and the sheep. And as we come towards this end of the series, we're noticing that Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lamb 38 times in the book of Revelation. It is the most common title used for the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation than any others, the Lamb of God. And as we continue with the book of Revelation in chapter number 6, we're going to discover just a little bit more about the Lamb and this Lamb that God is using to defeat all the armies of the world and to bring down judgment upon the world in these end time things. So if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and notice with me in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 1, or 6 and verse 1. Revelation 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sitteth to take the peace from the earth, and that they shall kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast saying, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened up the fifth seal, I saw under the altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony of what they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth?" And the white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and moon became as blood, and the stars fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. Notice the phrase, "the wrath of the Lamb." The wrath of the Lamb. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach to you from the book of Revelation. The idea here, the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great opportunity to be in your house tonight. And we're asking that you would put great power upon your message tonight. That you would give us unction from the Holy One on the message tonight. That you would allow people to be spiritual hearers so they could hear the message tonight. That you would do a great work that maybe someone's not even expecting for you to do tonight. That you would do things to draw people to yourself. We understand this is the great purpose of you writing this down and giving it to us, is that you desire for people to be drawn to yourself. Maybe there's someone here tonight that may be under the wrath of the Lamb and they don't realize it. Maybe there's someone tonight that you're trying to get a hold and get their attention of to repent of their sins. That you would do that tonight. Again, I recognize that this must be you and you alone. So the best I know how, I surrender myself to you. Fill me with your precious Spirit. And Lord, just do your work tonight. That when we walk out, we're all just in awe saying, what a God. What a God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation is an obvious fascination because it speaks about our future. Most of the Bible refers to the things in the past as we refer to David and refer to Abraham. We look at the trials and the missionary journeys of Paul. All of that is in the past. But the book of Revelation is a great fascination because it speaks about our future. It speaks about things yet to come. And as we come to the book of Revelation chapter 6, there are some things that have already preceded this event that we have recorded here. We understand the very next thing on God's calendar is what is called the rapture, the calling away that the Bible speaks about, that the dead in Christ shall arise first, then us that are alive and remain shall meet them together up in the air, and that there is no signs, no wonders, there is nothing that must be fulfilled, there's no planets that need to be aligned before Jesus Christ comes back, before he comes back and calls his people away, that there is nothing holding it back. And as we come to the book of Revelation chapter 6, the rapture has already been called away, meaning everyone who's ever accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, that in a twinkling of an eye, 1/1000th of a second, they're going to be disappeared. They're going to be called away. They're going to be gone. And only those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior is going to be left behind. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Afterwards, the beginning of the tribulation is going to start with a peace agreement between the Antichrist and Israel. We'll speak about that in just a second. But this starts an event we call the tribulation. The tribulation is 7 years of God's judgment upon the earth. Now, God has a purpose, and he's trying to bring the Hebrew people to himself, and we'll speak more about that on Wednesday night. But tonight, we're putting the idea, the focus, and the attention on the judgment that is coming upon the world during the first part of the tribulation, the first part of that 7 years. And if you don't mind, as we begin this, the thing I want to show you first is the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Notice, if you don't mind, that the judgments upon the earth will start with something that is called the seal judgments. That there is a book that was open. We spoke about that this morning. And as each one of these seals are open, judgment falls upon the earth. And there are 7 seals that are open. Notice as the Bible begins to describe these seals as the wrath of the Lamb is poured down upon the people. Notice with me the first seal in chapter 6 and verse 1. So we're speaking about the wrath of the Lamb, and underneath it we understand that we have the seals. The first seal in verse number 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he was given forth conquering and to conquer. Now, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, we would understand the identification of this man as the Antichrist. The Antichrist is someone that rises up after the rapture occurs, and he sets himself as a great hero, a great person of problem-solving abilities. After all, if you take the rapture, and all of a sudden millions of people who have accepted Christ disappear, there's going to be a little bit of confusion. Christian in a little bit of a panic. Could you imagine someone who's a Christian driving on the highway and disappear? What's going to happen to this car? It's going to go without him. What's going to happen around the world as millions of people are disappeared? There's going to be a lot of chaos. There's going to be a lot of panic. And it's going to be the Antichrist that steps in. And he's going to act as the world's problem solver. He's going to come up and solve a lot of the problems. You want to solve homelessness? Hey, look at all these homes that are now available. Let's go ahead and allow the homes to be occupied. Hey, we need people that need a car? Well, look at all these cars that are freshly abandoned. Wouldn't that be clever when he organizes the efforts and he takes care of different things in the problem? He tries to organize peace in the Middle East and sets a peace agreement with the Israelites, with the Hebrew people. But what's happening during the time is that he's spreading forth, and his purpose is to conquer the world and set up a one world government. And so he arises under the scene under the first seal of judgment. The second seal is opened up in verse number 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him to take peace from the earth, that they shall kill one another. And it was given unto him a great sword. The Bible, again, comparing Scripture with Scripture, we understand that the Antichrist, as he begins to take his place, that Russia and the Muslim Confederation will not like the idea that there is a peace with Israel. They will not like the idea that permission is given to the Israelite people to sign the peace agreement to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount. And so Russia, according to the book of Ezekiel, and the Muslim Confederation will go up against the Antichrist, and there will be death. It will not be a time of peace, even though the Antichrist is going to proclaim peace, but it's going to be a time of destruction and a time of death. Notice as the next seal is open in verse number 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and the three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The next horseman comes, and this one has a pair of balances, and what's going to happen is that famine is going to hit the earth. You say, "Preacher, you just read that, and you said a measure of wheat for a penny. I could go into the store and buy bread for a penny. That'd be wonderful." Well, a penny is actually a day's wage. And what we see here is that you can't buy a loaf of bread for a penny. You could buy an ingredient to make bread for a penny. That a famine's going to hit the land so much that what's going to happen is that you're going to work all day just to buy one ingredient to make bread. The famine is going to hit so hard and so much that people are going to starve. And it is going to be hard to get the materials to get something to eat. Notice as we go on, we see the fourth seal open in verse number 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed after him, and power was given unto him for the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Now we come to the fourth horseman, the horseman of death. And the horseman of death, because of the war that's gone on, because of the famine, because of the violence that's happened, that as death comes, we see that a fourth part of the population of the earth is killed under these first four judgments of God that rain down. Now, just for those who need to have a math idea, let's just say for number's sake that during the time of the tribulation, there are 4 billion people on the earth. Now, I know that we have excess of 7 billion, and I'm not saying that 3 billion are saved and going to be raptured up. But for the sake of numbers, let's just say that there are 4 billion people during the tribulation. That under the first four judgments that come, 1/4 of them, or 1 billion people, will die under these first four seal judgments that hit. 1 billion people. So many people are going to die that there's not going to be enough people to bury them. Could you imagine the stench of it as these people are dying and slain? The gore, the things that are happening, the fields are burned, all kinds of panic has ensued. This is not a wonderful time. This is not an enjoyable time to go through. And this is just the beginning. Notice as we now open up the fifth seal. Notice with me in verse number 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood of the earth of them that dwell on them? And white robes were given at every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. During this time here, under the fifth seal, we understand that the tribulation begins with no saved people. However, there will be Bibles and there will be witnesses. The Bible speaks more about those witnesses later on. But there are going to be people who get saved during this time. And during this time, the people who are saved understand what the Bible says, and they're going to be against the Antichrist, and they're going to be against the things of the earth. And because they are against the Antichrist, they are going to be killed. They're going to be slain and they're going to be martyred. And their deaths of them as they approach heaven. They say, when are you going to avenge our deaths? When are you going to take care of this? When are you going to solve these things on the earth? And we see that the judgments continue on. We now open up the sixth seal and verse number 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And in heaven departed as a scroll that is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. Here we see as this sixth seal is opened up that there's a great earthquake. Now again, there's a lot of things coming on and there's a lot of speculation. What we do know, the Bible says, we take things literally as much as we can, that there's going to be so much destruction raining down from heaven that the sun is going to be blackened out. Can you imagine high noon and everything is blackened out because of what is in the sky? That at night you could see all the falling stars just raining down. Something impacts the earth so much that it feels like the whole earth is rolling, as like a scroll being rolled out, and that the mountains and everything has moved out of their place. This is an earthquake like the earth has not known in recorded human history. And it would be a terrible time to ride that wave of the earthquake that rides throughout the entire earth and makes so much destruction. And this is the seal judgments. As we talk about the different judgments of the Bible, there are the seal judgments in Revelation. There are the trumpets judgments. And then later on is the bowl judgments. And these are the first judgments. These are the weak judgments. It only gets worse from there. May I show you some scary things coming up with the trumpet judgments? Notice with me in the book of Revelation chapter 8. The book of Revelation chapter 8, we're seeing the wrath of the Lamb. And it starts off with the seal judgments, that each of these seals are opened up one by one and the judgments pour out. And we've seen six of the seven seal judgments open. Notice with me in the book of Revelation chapter 8. And verse number 1, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Could you imagine such a silence that nothing's making a noise for half an hour? Such an eerie silence. And I saw seven angels which stood before the God, and that were given the seven trumpets. The seventh seal, when it's open, brings forth the seven trumpet judgments. And now these angels go and blow the trumpets, and more judgments come that are worse than the previous ones. Verse number 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayer of the saints ascended before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire on the altar and cast it in the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first trumpet sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast on the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all of the green grass was burnt up. As the first trumpet blows, hail fire comes from heaven, that it burns. It's mixed with blood, hail and fire, ice and fire mixed, come down. And they destroy a third part of the trees. They destroy a third part of the plant life on the earth. Verse number 8. And the second angel sounded as if it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. The second angel goes, and we could see that a third of the water becomes blood. Verse number 8. 9. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. And the name of the star is called wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. This is a type of nasty, bitter, that you, it's making it so all the waters of the earth are no longer drinkable. And many men died because of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, as the third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and night likewise. And I beheld and heard the angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 the word woe means cursed, to the inhabitants of the earth, by the reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. After all this stuff that has hit, you've had the sealed judgments, you've had the first trumpets, but now this other angel says, guess what? The worst is yet to come. The worst is what yet to come. And verse number, chapter 9 and verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him that was given to the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened up the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke out of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing or any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And it was to them given that they should not kill them, but they shall be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, for death shall flee from them. As this next judgment hits, that the gates of hell are opened up. And you see here that there are locusts, these type of creatures come up and they sting a man. And the pain of their sting is so horrible that for 5 months you are burning in agony from the poison. And for 5 months you wish you could die, but it won't kill you, it just torments you. Could you imagine the agony and the torments of people? And they only attack those that are not saved during the time. And you'd almost think, with these judgments that are coming on, with everything that is falling apart, that people would turn towards the Lord, but they do not. As we could see and go on, that there are more judgments, but I want you to notice in verse number 18. And by these was the third part of men killed, by fire and by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued after their mouths. Now, as we took our calculations, and we just said for round numbers that we started with 4 billion. That is, the first four sealed judgments were opened up, that a fourth part of them were killed, and we went from 4 billion to 3 billion. And now as the trumpet judgments continue to go forward, we can see that the 3 billion has taken out another billion, a third part of them were taken, and you're left with half of what you started with. Could you imagine that such judgments upon the earth that in 3 years, half of the population of the earth is killed? And the ones that are not killed are in torments, wishing they could die. And we see the wrath of the Lamb poured out. Which now brings me to a second thing I'd like to address. Not only the wrath of the Lamb, but I want you to see man's response to the wrath of the Lamb. Man's response. How will people respond to the judgments of God falling upon the earth? Notice with me in the book of Revelation chapter 6. The book of Revelation chapter number 6. And I'd like to show you man's response to the wrath of the Lamb. Notice with me in verse number 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. So what's happening? The people begin to hide. They say, the judgment's falling from the earth. Things are being destroyed. So they go into the mountains. They dig themselves underground. And they get to the place where they said, we don't want any more. Please, please. Verse number 16. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Fall on us. We want you to kill us. Please destroy us. They're hiding underground and they want the whole caverns to fall on them. Notice what they say. And hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice this. The wrath of the Lamb. Normally when you think of a lamb, you don't think of something that's scary. You don't think of something that is frightening. You don't think of something that is dangerous. When they understand that it's the wrath of the Lamb, they know exactly who the judgment is from. The judgment is not from Allah. It is not from Buddha. It is not from Muhammad. It is from Jesus Christ. They know it comes from Jesus. And they come from the wrath of the Lamb. They know that it's Jesus Christ that is bringing the wrath. And notice this. Instead of getting right, they said, we'd rather die. You know, some thinking person would almost think in their mind, with the judgments falling down, with everything going on, that wouldn't they get right? Wouldn't they say, hey, let me get saved? Hey, I want to accept Jesus. He's the one with all power. But they refuse to get saved. They still refuse. They said, we'd rather die than hide in the caves. Please kill us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They refuse to get right. Isn't that baffling? Isn't that just mind-blowing? Why wouldn't they get right with all the judgments? Why wouldn't they get right? You know, that's a great question, isn't it? And let me tell you the reason why people don't get right in the future is the reason why people don't get right with God today. You ever think about that? Why won't people get right with God today? Why won't they turn from their sin? Well, may I show you the reason? We started off with the wrath of the Lamb. Then we come to man's response to the wrath of the Lamb. Now let's just ask the question now, why won't they repent? Notice with me in the book of Revelation chapter 9. The book of Revelation chapter 9, and if you don't mind, let me show you what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Why won't they get right? Well, notice with me in the book of Revelation chapter 9. The book of Revelation chapter 9, and notice with me in verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. Notice this. They repented not. They watched everyone die. They watched the plagues come. They know it's the wrath of God. They know it's the wrath of the Lamb. Yet they refuse to get right. Why won't they get right? Notice what the Bible says in Revelation 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Why don't they want to get right with God? Because if they did, they'd have to get rid of their false religion. If they did, they'd have to get rid of their false religion. You see, they're not willing to get rid of their idols. They're not get ready to get rid of the thing that they worship. They're not ready to get rid of the thing that brings them the most joy. They don't want to get rid of the thing that they value the most. They'd rather have their things rather than God. They'd rather have their things that they know that God is going to set aside if they choose to follow after Him. They'd rather have that. It's almost like a Roman Catholic who has all of their idols, and they don't want to turn to Christ because they'd rather have their idols. It's almost like someone who has the crucifix, and they'd rather have that crucifix, which is a violation of the Ten Commandments. Rather have that crucifix than turn to Christ. I remember dealing with a young lady I worked with for a while, and I talked with her and talked with her and talked with her, told her about salvation. And one day she said, with tears in her eyes, she goes, "I believe what you're saying is true. I believe that what you said, that I'm a sinner, is correct. I believe that what you said, that that because of my sin, I deserve to go to hell. I believe that Jesus is willing to save me, but I will not get saved." She said, "The reason why is because I was raised a Mormon." And she said, "I had a 15-year-old son who died in a car accident. And in the Mormon religion, they taught that you could bring someone out of hell and bring them into heaven if you baptize for the dead. And so they had several people baptized in the name of this boy, so that way this boy can go to heaven." And she said this. She goes, "If I accept what you say, I then also must believe that my son is in hell. And I cannot do that." And because of that, she would damn herself to go to hell, because she'd rather cling on to that religion. She'd rather hold on to that than let go and give up the thing she is trusting in the most. And that's exactly why people will not get right during the time. They do not want to get rid of their false religion. But that's not all that the Bible says here. Why won't people get right during this time? What is it that prevents people, even today, from turning unto Jesus Christ? Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 21. "Neither they repented of their murders." Neither do they repent of their murders. You see, this is becoming even more prevalent inside of our country. That especially in the latter days that we've had here, is that they've legalized murder. And they like their murders. The Bible is very clear that life begins at conception. That before a baby is born, it is considered life, it is considered human. And Jesus Christ said He has a plan for that child. He has a design for that child. And that anybody who aborts a baby is committing murder. And there are people that will refuse to turn right, because in order to return to God, they'd have to recognize that that is murder. And they refuse to repent of the murders. That's not the only thing that the Bible says. Why won't people get right today? Why won't they get right then? Well, the Bible says they don't want to give up their false religion. They don't want to give up their murders. Notice with me in verse 21. "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries." The word sorceries carries the idea of anything that takes control of the mind. The word sorceries, for its root word, is where we get our word pharmacy. And the reason why some people will not get right with God is because they don't want to get rid of their booze. They don't want to get rid of their drugs. You understand? Alcohol is an abomination to the God. There is no exceptions. God hates liquor. He hates liquor. And some people refuse to get right with God because they don't want to give up their liquor. There are some people who will not get right with God because they like their weed. They like how it makes them feel, man. And to get right with God would have to recognize that this is wrong. Remember, the word repent has a change of mind that leads to a change of behavior. And to get right with God, you have to say, that is wrong. And not only is it wrong, I should never do it again. And there are some people who will not get right with God because they don't want to leave their alcohol. There are some people who don't want to get right because they don't want to leave their parties and their wild lifestyle. They don't want to get right with God because it comes to a choice. Do I say that this is wrong and He is right? Or do I say that He is wrong and that is right? And when it comes down that the wrath of God has come, it comes to the place where people are being stung by creatures, and for 5 months they're in torments and they refuse to get right because they don't want to give up their alcohol. They don't want to get rid of their drugs. They don't want to get rid of their lifestyle. And they'd rather say, let the rocks fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. But the Bible is not done. Why is it that some people will not get right with God? They don't want to get rid of their false religion. They don't want to get rid, they don't want to get rid of their murders. They don't want to get rid of their sorceries. Notice with me in verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication. The word fornication carries the idea of sexual sins outside of marriage. You understand, anytime someone has sex outside of marriage, it is sin. It is absolutely sin. And God hates it. God hates sin. And what happens is they don't want to get rid of their sin. And they don't want to get right with God because they like their sex. Nobody will tell me what to do. It's my body. I could do what I want. And God hates their sin. And they will not get right with God. They refuse to get right because they want their sin. Any sin outside of marriage the way that God intended is evil, it is wrong, and it is against God. And God hates it. God hates it. And they refuse to get right. They said, we'd rather die and go to hell than say that Jesus is right. We'd rather die and let all these horrible things befall us rather than give up my alcohol, get rid of my booze, get rid of my sex, get rid of my parties, get rid of what I want to do, get rid of anything that would hold me back from serving God. But the Bible is not done. The Bible says the reason why they will not repent is because they don't want to get rid of their false religion. They don't want to get rid of their murders. They don't want to get rid of their sorceries. They don't want to get rid of their fornications. But notice this. They don't want to give up their thefts. Verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Thievery is just simply taking something that does not belong to you. You know, people are thieves. People take things that don't belong to them all the time, and they think nothing of it. You know that even employees steal time from their employers by not using their time for the company? We all know people who like to be gossip, and they get paid to gossip, it seems like. They don't do any other work at the company but go to chamber to chamber to chamber and say the latest gossip. But that's not how a Christian should behave. A Christian should be the hardest worker there is. It should be such a thing that you work so hard that it will take two people to replace you because you work so hard, using your time wisely and not stealing from your company. But so many people will steal time from other things. They will take things that don't belong to them. They don't work for something and they expect someone else to take care of them. That's thievery. And they'd rather have their thievery. They'd rather have their lifestyle that they don't have to work so much. And the Bible speaks quite a bit about this. And rather someone else take care of them rather than get right with God. And God says, you're not right. You're a thief. You're a thief. And God says, it's not right. And the people would say, I'd rather have the lifestyle where I mooch off someone else than get right with God. And so here it is. Judgments are falling. Half of the world's population is dead. And those that are remaining still refuse to get right with God because they don't want to leave their sin. And why is it that people don't get right today? They don't want to get rid of their sin. They'd rather have their sin than Jesus Christ. They'd rather have their sin than get right with God. They'd rather have their sin than follow after Him and allow Him to be their God. What a horrible state. That brings me to something else. We spoke about the wrath of the Lamb. We spoke about man's response to the wrath of the Lamb. May I show you one other thing in the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation, chapter 6, once again. And I want to ask you a question. The book of Revelation, chapter 6, and verse 17. For the great day of His wrath is come. Here's the question. And who shall be able to stand? You know, it's at this time that people will cross their arms and stare at me and say, so what? There are some people that will get an attitude that says, I'm going to be fine. Here's the question. Are you going to be able to withstand the judgment of God? You're going to stand before God one day and you're going to give an account. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, what can you possibly tell Him that would justify you refusing to accept Him? What can you possibly say? Well, Jesus, you just have to understand, I just needed to have a good time. Is that going to erase your sin? Is that going to erase your account? Especially since Jesus died for you and He gave Himself freely unto you. He died so you don't have to die. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And it is a free gift. You don't have to do anything for it. Jesus did it all. All you have to do is accept that free gift. To recognize that you're a sinner. And it is your sins. That filthy alcohol. That fornication. That thievery. That is a sin. And because of that sin, you've offended a holy, righteous God. And you are under judgment. May I remind you that you're not under judgment in the future. You're under judgment right now. May I show you that in the gospel record of John chapter 3? The gospel record of John chapter number 3. The gospel record of John chapter number 3. Notice with me in John chapter 3 and verse number 36. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. But notice this. But the wrath of God abideth currently, present tense, on you. That if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your wrath of the Lamb is not in the future, it is currently abiding. You are under the wrath of God right now. And the question remains, who will be able to stand? Who will be able to stand? Who can stand against the wrath of God? Who is the one that thinks that I'm good enough? I'm the exception to the rule. I can enjoy my sin and get away with it. There is not a single person. And so the choice, dear friend, is this: the wrath of God, or repent of your sins. On one hand, the judgment of God that God pours out, and it is awful, and at the very end it leads to an awful place called hell. On the other side is to repent of your sins, to have the free gift that Jesus offered to you, full, free, and forever. You understand that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the choice remains: to repent, or the wrath of God. Who shall be able to stand? There's people who are cocky enough and arrogant enough to think that they're an exception. You are not. There are some people that says, I'll deal with it later. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. And why would you put it off and have the wrath of God abiding you now? Do you understand how perilous your position is right now? It is almost like you're dangling over the pits of hell with a small strand of web holding you over the pit of fire. At any time that web can snap and you are done. You are currently under the wrath of God, and Jesus is your only hope. Jesus is your only hope. And so there's a clear choice tonight. The choice is to repent of your sins and run to a loving Savior. Or say, I love my sin, and I'd rather have the wrath of God and keep my sin. That is your choice tonight. And it is an important choice. And it is a choice that will haunt you or help you forever. Why won't people get right in the future? The same reason why they won't get right now is because they love their sin. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.